Hey, it's Lauren Fox, the host of Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. Andrew Hansen and I have the week off, so take a moment and enjoy some highlights from some of our past shows. Hey, welcome back to Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. Lauren Fox, Andrew Hansen, and we are joined by Bedford High basketball coach, boys basketball coach, Mark Elmendorf. Coach, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much for having me.
Hey, it's always great to talk basketball. We had Kevin Gibbs on last week talking about the girls, so figure we'll round things out with the boys. And you're coming into the season having lost a number of seniors. In fact, you look at the roster, and it's an entirely different set, or largely a different set of players, and you lost a bunch of them who made some really big contributions last year. What are the biggest holes that you're trying to fill after the graduations?
Well, you're right. We did lose some significant players, Harry Lagoulin, Zach Guerin, kids like that that played a lot of minutes. But as you know, our record last year was certainly not where we would want it to be or where we expected it to be. But the nice thing is that we're going to start five seniors. All of those five got not significant, but got minutes last year. So I do think we're an experienced team. But we'll see how the season goes. We do have our top scorer back in Justin O'Neill, so that certainly helps us, I think.
So, Coach, I'm trying to look over the roster here and predict the starting five along with Justin O'Neill. I imagine we can expect to see Tim Green out there, Connor Butts, Trey Ravenel, and who would be the fifth?
Jordan Dyer.
Excellent.
Who was one of our three captains as well. So, Justin is Justin. He's added some things to his game. He's certainly got a tremendous amount of confidence right now. He's evolved as a player, as a person, just as much as a player. He's just been tremendous. Connor is Connor. He's been great. Leadership has been awesome. He'll be our point guard. Jordan Dyer will stretch the floor a little bit, and he's a very good perimeter shooter. Timmy Green has some pretty good size, and, he's a pretty good long-range shooter as well. But as I've been saying to everybody all year, our X factor is Trey Ravenel. He's had a tremendous preseason. He's playing out of his mind right now. He had the best practice I've ever seen him have yesterday. And if he comes to play and does well, I think good things could happen.
Yeah, it's really exciting to hear about the X factor. I've really enjoyed watching his moves. He certainly has a lot of potential, and that being Trey. So give us an idea of what makes a standout practice for you. Was it effort? Was it performance? Was it intensity?
All three of the above. There was one point in practice where he was doing exactly what he was supposed to be doing, but he did it in such a way that it was all under control. He was poised. He had a thought, and he did it the way it was supposed to be done. And it was a really, really fun practice yesterday. He got me excited, to put it mildly.
Well, we're all excited for the beginning of the season coming up here this week. And as you talk about those individuals and their roles, tell us a little bit about how it's been going, through the summer, through the fall, as you try to get these guys to gel, because, a lot of them had significant minutes last year, but now they're all moving forward with bigger roles. So how's the process going in terms of getting everyone to gel?
Yeah, we had a great summer. We played in a summer league at Memorial High where we did very, very well. I think we came in second place, surrounding area schools that, we played two or three games a week. And then all fall, we played in a very competitive fall league team at Revere College, which has teams from Manchester to Chelmsford, Mass. I think there's 18 teams in the league, and we won that league. So I was real excited about that. We came out number one, and I think the kids won three games on the final day of the season, but it was great. The chemistry of the team has been really, really good. We had all workouts in the morning before school 2 days a week, where we had at least 15 to 20 kids every Monday and Wednesday morning from 6:30 to 7:30. So, yeah, I have no complaints about anything that's been going on since really the beginning of the summer.
It's really a lot of fun to hear, and always great to hear when you start to hear about kids putting in the extra work to get out there with their teammates. We're with Coach Mark Elmendorf, the head coach of the Bedford High boys basketball team. And coach, what do you hope the strengths of this year's team will be on the court?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, I think the team right now is we don't have a true post player. Trey is our post player, but you know, he's going to play some on the perimeter. We got five kids who can really move without the ball well. They can. We got four kids who can really shoot from long range that are of the five starters. Four of them can are pretty good perimeter shooters. But right now, I think it's just their ability to play together. Defensively, I think we're going to be okay. We're going to play certainly mostly man-to-man, I think. But right now, kids are really kind of feeding off each other, and that's been fun to watch.
So you mentioned a lot of man-to-man defense. How about on offense? Are you expecting any changes in terms of your general strategy with the X's and O's?
Well, we are gonna spread the floor certainly more than we have in the past. You know, last year we had Harry, we had Zach that could play on the post. We don't have that kid, as I was saying. So we are going to play, you know, spread the floor a little bit more, work on trying to get to the rim through the drive, kind of kick it out, that kind of thing. But, that's the plan at least.
And then as the team starts to come together and you work on, you know, building those offensive sets, what are your overall goals for the team this season?
Well, you know, the first goal is obviously always going to make the playoffs, which, you know, I would assume that we would be in a position to do that. And then the next goal after that is to get to UNH. Anything can happen when your team gets to UNH, so we've been there before, and we desperately want to get back.
Well, we're taping this on Thursday, and your first game is tomorrow on the road at Nashua South, but we don't have any home games until January 7th. What's up with this schedule this season?
Good question. You know, I don't mind not having a home game until January 7th. That I don't really have a problem with. But what I'm struggling with is the preseason has been incredibly short. And I know the NHIA is looking at it, and they're trying to rectify the situation. But as a coach, you know, we got three mandatory days of tryouts, where we're fortunate in Bedford, who I think we had about 70 kids try out for the program.
Wow.
So, you know, we had to obviously make a lot of cuts between the three teams. And then, you know, we get right in after the 3 days of tryouts to practice. We missed a day on Tuesday of this week because of the weather. And it's just really, really short before our first game. We had one scrimmage over the weekend against Bo, and it's just a really, really short preseason.
It's funny, when we were talking,
I don't know what they're going to do about it, but, you know, Division II teams open up the same day as us tomorrow, but they got an extra week of practice.
Right, and we were talking to Coach Gibbs. He mentioned the same thing, that Hanover, I think, had basically moved everything up a week. They got that extra week of practice, and then we got blasted by tryouts followed by weather.
Correct. And then the other thing that happened in Division I, at least for boys, there are six out of the 19 teams that changed their schedule and moved their first game to after Christmas. So, the two ADs from the schools get together and decide that they'll play it on another day. And, you know, it would be one thing if you could say that it's the same for everybody, then it's fine. But it's not the same for everybody. There are six out of the 18, 19 teams in Division I that don't have a regular season game until at least 3 or 4 weeks after they start the practice. That's what it is.
Yeah, I could see how that could complicate things. Fortunately or unfortunately, there's a lot of time between now and the playoffs. The hope would be that everything would sort of level off by then. I guess getting back to one quick thing, because you mentioned 70 players came out to try out. So you have 12 on the varsity roster. How deep are the JV and freshman rosters then?
Good question. You know, I think the JV team is going to be very, very strong. Six or seven sophomores our sophomore class, very, very good. The freshman team will, I think the last 4 or 5 years, has had at least 12, 13 wins every year. They do a great job. So, you know, expectations are high. You know, when I talk to other coaches throughout the state, they don't have that problem. I mean, I heard one coach up at Baldwin High had 10 kids try out for their freshman team.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's just a cyclical thing, and we're fortunate to work at a school where athletics is promoted in a great way. you know, Bedford's a great town. It's nice that we have all these kids that want to play sports.
It certainly helps, and I'm sure you had your fair share of conversations with people after tryouts were done. That's always a tough time, particularly when you have numbers like that.
Yes, it is. You know, there's a lot of kids that are down and upset about it, but as I tell kids, that's the best way to learn. You know, I it's part of life. I certainly got cut when I was in high school, and the kids that stay with it, try to get better, those are the kids that are going to be successful.
Yep. You learn a lot more from failures than you do from success, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time with us. You in retirement now have a busy day of Christmas shopping.
Yeah, I am headed out to the store now, but yeah, it's a fun time of year. I got a great family, and we'll all be together over Christmas, which doesn't happen very often, so I'm very fortunate.
Well, wonderful. We appreciate you taking the time with us, and can't wait to see you in the gym.
All right, thanks. We appreciate it, and we'll look forward to seeing you.
Thanks a lot, Coach. Take care.
All right, have a good day.
You too. That was Coach Mark Elmendorf, the head coach of the Bedford boys basketball team. Hey, it's Lauren Fox, the host of Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. Andrew Hansen and I have the week off, so take a moment and enjoy some highlights from some of our past shows. Hey, welcome to another week of the soon-to-be-rebranded Fox on Sports. I'm Lauren Fox.
And I'm Andrew Hansen.
And we're back here in the studio again, and it's freezing, but there's a bright spot here. The Bedford High basketball season's about to start within the next, week or so. And with that, we brought on the girls' basketball coach, Kevin Gibbs, to the program. Coach, welcome.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
So, of course, we've had the opportunity to do a number of games over the last couple of years and have seen a variety of different players come and go. And this year, when you look at the roster from last year to this year, there are a lot of familiar faces. You have a really experienced young roster. The only two that you graduated out of the team were Lizzie Stevenson and Kenny Barnard. Who else do you see taking on some of the big roles this season?
Well, we're very fortunate. Let me start off by saying losing Lizzie and Kendi created some pretty big holes, a lot of points and a lot of rebounds. But we're blessed in that we are returning 8 varsity players, including 3 starters, led by first team All-State Allie Morgan, who is our floor leader. She's one of the 3 captains. She's our facilitator. She can score the ball from 3 levels. She's a high-energy player, a strong defender, and as has been thought by many of the other coaches in New Hampshire, is sure to repeat as a Division I All-Star again, first-team All-Star, and is in contention for Player of the Year. We also return Amanda Jonas, who is a solid interior player who has taken her game to the outside as well. She can easily step out and hit 3-point shots, so she's going to give other teams fits. She can play back to the basket. She can defend on the perimeter. She can step out and hit that outside shot. We also return, and Amanda is also a captain. And then the third starter that we return is senior captain Emma Rosenbaum, who I can best describe with an old term. She's a lunch pail kid. She does all the little things that help her team win. She can score. She's a great defender. She is a voracious rebounder. She, at times, over the past week, while trying out different combinations and scrimmages, I actually put her at the point, and she handled that really well. She's an extremely intelligent young woman, and not just in the classroom, but on the court as well. And then another player that we return who we're very excited about is last year's sixth man, Isabella King, who also happened to be our leading scorer. Isabella netted 268 points last year and is on track to having another really strong season this year. Isabella is a high-level player that is being heavily recruited at the college level. In addition to that, we have Marina Braga and Sydney Suazo coming back, who are looking to play increased minutes. And then 2 sophomores that played a significant role last year, who are going to be in contention for starting this year, guard Safia Mumpini, who, again, can step out and hit the three. She's aggressive on the offensive end and a really locked-down defender. And then Catherine Pennock, who is a forward who is probably tracking to be the next Kendi Barnard in the sense that there isn't a single rebound that she isn't in pursuit of. And what I really like is that Catherine has worked on her game in the offseason and is now a really good mid-range scoring threat as well as an inside scoring threat.
Now, you mentioned a lot of younger players within that, namely Sydney Suazo, Pennock. You had a number of freshmen who saw time last year on the team. Who do you expect being some of the newcomers on this year's roster?
Well, we've gone with a smaller roster this year, looking for the opportunity to have everybody be involved in the rotation. So we picked up two new varsity players, as well as one player who's going to be swinging varsity, the JV. The swinger is one of Marina's triplet sisters, Christina Braga, who is a forward who I think can, as the season goes on, help us out a bit in particular situations, but she's going to get an awful lot of court time on the JV squad. And then we've added Emma Kazajanski. Emma actually sat out last year because she tore her ACL playing AAU the previous AAU season. She was with the team as a manager last year, so she had an opportunity to kind of see what was going on, but she's now playing with us. It definitely earned that varsity roster spot. Emma is an aggressive player on the offensive end. She is learning the speed of the game and a lot of the schemes that we're doing. So she's playing a little bit of catch up, but I fully expect her to be a contributing member of the team. And then pleasant surprise, Sydney Grogan, who's a freshman. Sydney played for Lurgio last year, obviously, and oftentimes the transition from middle school to high school ball can be difficult. The pace of the game is different. The strength of the players are different. And it's the rare freshman who can step in and be an integral part of a varsity team. Last year, we were fortunate we had three. This year, we have one in Sydney. She is, and maybe I'm going to age myself and date myself here a little bit, but she's the Energizer Bunny. She is all over the place. She is an absolute menace on the defensive end. She's going to really help us in trapping situations and lockdown defense. And what I really like is we're looking for to play more of an up-tempo style this year, and Sydney's really, really strong at pushing the ball out.
Well, Coach, it's fun to hear your descriptions of those players and start to visualize the squad this winter. So before we get focused on opening night next Friday, are there any stories from the offseason we should be aware of? Any highlights from AAU ball or the fall leagues?
Most definitely. Seven of the eight returning players played AAU. As a matter of fact, because we have so many players in the program that play AAU, we chose not to run in any summer leagues, which was, I think, a good decision because you want the kids playing, but not playing too much. We did hold some skills and open gyms during the course of the summer for those kids that wanted to come in, and attendance was very, very strong. As a matter of fact, this year I instituted before school skills and drills sessions. We are allowed by the NHIAA to work in the preseason with players on skill development, and we can't coach them in any leagues or whatever, but I decided because we have so many players that play AAU and other school sports for Bedford, that going in the morning, which the boys have done for years, might be a great way to have them in the gym, working with the coaching staff, and also getting to know each other. And attendance was very, very strong for that. I was very pleased. It's rare that you can find a group of young women who are interested and willing in getting into the gym at 6:15 in the morning before a long school day. And these young ladies did just that. In terms of highlights in the off season, again, our players, many of them played AAU. I want to take a moment to recognize three players who earned some great accolades. The first is Allie Morgan, who has committed to playing in Florida at a D2 program called the University of West Florida in Pensacola for the next 4 years. Allie is perfectly suited for the style of play that they have down there at West Florida, and the coach down there is fantastic. Amanda Jonas just committed to Rhode Island College, which is a Little East school down in North Providence, Rhode Island. I really like their coach, Jenna Cosgrove, who used to be a D1 assistant at Quinnipiac, has gone over there and is building something really special. Amanda was heavily recruited by a lot of D3 schools, and for what she wants to study, what she wants to do in terms of playing, it's a great fit for her. And then, interestingly, there was a recent article in our state's newspaper that previewed the various programs around the state, and I was absolutely dumbfounded that they did not note Isabella King as a player to watch. On September 1st, which was the first date of a player's junior year, that D1 programs can contact players directly, Isabella received 10 phone calls from Division I coaches. She is a heavily recruited player who's going to be playing at a high level, and she certainly isn't under the radar to the other Division I New Hampshire high school coaches, nor is she under the radar to the college coaching community, but I guess she's under the radar to the local sports coverage community. So for them, it'll be a wonderful coming out party for her this year.
She was not under the radar to us.
No, not at all. They could have called us. We could have given an unbiased opinion.
I'm kind of amazed that I did not receive a phone call. But again, you don't know what the resources are and whatever. But again, Isabella, as well as other players, will be a handful for other teams in the state to handle this year.
I was going to say, too, with newspapers, if it were 15 years ago, you'd say that's inexcusable. Now you could say, well, it may just be due to the fact that it was written by somebody who's not a full-time staffer, just given the current state of things. But we're joined by Kevin Gibbs, the coach at Bedford High School, or the girls basketball coach at Bedford High School. And coach, this is year one for you in the head coach role. What was it like for you, instead of last year where you came in partway through the season, now you have that part of the season as well as summer and fall to sort of put your stamp on things?
Most definitely. Bedford, as everyone that's listening is aware, is a very special place to coach. The expectations here are high, and more importantly, the community, the students, the parents, and Corey Parker, the AD, are solidly behind not only the girls basketball team, but all of the high school sports teams. I'm looking forward to building a solid relationship with the BBL and the middle school programs. We have the best feeder programs in the state of New Hampshire, and I want there to be more opportunities for the younger players to see what high school ball is all about. I also want to create a framework where the players and coaches from the high school teams are able to give back and contribute to player development and a love and appreciation of the game. In terms of, you know, putting my stamp on things, I have been coaching for a lot of years. I've coached, been head coach at a lot of other programs, both high school and junior college over the years. So, and having been an assistant at Bedford, I was a known entity to the girls. So the transition last year was easier. And obviously going into this year, I've had an opportunity to put a lot of things in place to make this year hopefully as successful as can be.
It's quite a responsibility as far as the time that you have to put in and the emotional energy that you have to put in as well. Of course, you've made some changes in the off season, but what changes when you come in basically right at the beginning of the new year? What changes were you able to implement last year?
Well, last year, because we had put quite a few things in place, the changes were kind of, I would put them in the category of minor tweaks. There were small but important changes. We added full court pressure and backcourt trapping on the defensive side of the ball, and then made some changes to the offense that empowered the players to make real-time decisions. There was a tendency to put in too many set plays that the players tend to be more robotic in how they do things. And I'm speaking in generalities now, not necessarily here in Bedford or previous coaching situations, but I'm a believer in putting in an offensive scheme that creates a framework for the girls to succeed. Meaning, if the defense gives you an opportunity, you take it. If the play says you're swinging the ball to the other side, but the C's part, and there's an open lane to go to the basket, you go to the basket. And, you know, all too often, a lot of coaches are very set in wanting to run specific plays and running them all the way through. But we have a very, very intelligent, very creative, very skilled group of players. And I tell them time and again, it's like a chess match, move and counter move. And just because we're running a particular play, if the defense gives you something that you can take advantage of, you take advantage of it. And that includes if all of a sudden there's a great two-man opportunity, you clear everybody out and you run two-man, or you run a triangle, or you go one-on-one. When there's scrimmage on Tuesday night at Merrimack Valley at the end of the fifth quarter, we had an opportunity with a mismatch, got the ball into Isabella King's hands, and she took it to the rack and got fouled as the buzzer went off. And again, that wasn't any set play. It was just an opportunistic situation that you recognize and take it.
Well, Coach, with an offensive system like that, you've got to have the players to execute the strategy, and you've got to be excited about the players you do have. You've already mentioned Allie scoring from three different levels, certainly an outstanding point guard and smart enough to make the right decision. And then, of course, Isabella King can score from the outside, score from the inside, and she's so strong with her left hand that, you know, if defenses aren't ready for her, that's a weapon right there. But how excited are you to have the players you do to go out and execute that strategy?
I'm extremely excited. We've had some setbacks in the sense that some illness is already going through the team, which I guess it's better to get it out of the way earlier than later. But more importantly, losing the first 2 days of tryouts to the snowstorm last week did put us a little bit behind. I had pretty much laid things out in such a way that there was a progression leading up to our opening game next Tuesday at Memorial. That included a scrimmage last Friday night against Division II defending state champions Hanover, who we've scrimmaged the last couple of years. And then on Saturday, we put together the first annual Bedford Girls Varsity Basketball Jamboree, which is a real fancy name for I invited 15 Division I and Division II teams in. And we ran a series of half games, 20-minute running time half games, going from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., where everybody had a chance to have three of these half games. And then following it up, and I scheduled us against some really strong competition because I wanted to give us the opportunity to play some good teams. And then on Tuesday, we went up and played Merrimack Valley. Having put that together, losing 2 days to snow and Bedford having a three-day mandatory tryout schedule, our scrimmage against Hanover was actually the last varsity tryout. So it was bad in the sense that you don't have an opportunity to really put much of anything in, but it was good because it allowed us to really evaluate players in game situations, which, again, the player that's opposite the ball isn't their friend. They're not going to go easy on them. They're going to challenge them. And then it also gave us as coaches the opportunity to see how the girls reacted to real-time, on-the-fly changes and coaching instructions. Because that's another thing that you're looking for. You're looking for players that if you call a timeout and you see a situation as a coach that calls for something to be done on the defensive or offensive end and you whiteboard it, you want to have the confidence that you have players that can equate what they're looking at to action on the floor. But again, I think if I would grade them, we went from probably about a B minus on Friday night, all the way up to about an A minus on Tuesday. We really played well on Tuesday night, and that was with only one real practice under our belts.
Yeah, I have to imagine that's a really significant challenge when you're trying to evaluate players and you have some who you know, and then you have a lot of new faces getting out there as well, particularly because, as you alluded to earlier, some of the feeder programs in are so strong, it really places an emphasis on you to try to get as much as you can out of the time that you have with these players. And if you're running a scrimmage against Hanover, that can complicate things.
Most definitely. It was kind of funny before. I've known Dan, the coach at Hanover, for a long time. And we were chatting and I, you know, explained our situation. They, of course, started a week earlier than us. And I said, Al, you know, we're a work in progress. This is actually our last tryout. And, you know, we were chatting up a little bit. Very first time we got the ball on the inbounds, full court man pressure was dropping. And I was like, okay, here we go. Here we go. He's certainly not going to let up and show any mercy. And I'm glad he didn't.
Yeah.
Because, again, it's the real world, I guess, is the best way to put it in terms of high school hoops in New Hampshire. It's the real world. But it was fun. And I think the young ladies got an awful lot out of it. I know the coaching staff did as well. And they put together a master plan for each of the practices between Wednesday and, 2 days ago and next Monday. And we're executing. We have certain things that we need to get in prior to playing the games. And there's an awful lot that we want to get in and change as the season goes on. Obviously, these days, there's no such thing as rumors or unknowns. Everybody is scouting. Everybody is trading film. So you have to change things up as the season goes on. That includes what you're doing on both ends of the court, on your inbound plays, on your sideline plays. And that's the fun of coaching. That is really the fun of coaching. It's kind of like a chess match between you and the other coach. And that's invigorating. It truly is.
So, Coach, in terms of mixing things up and other teams scouting you, it sounds like there's going to be some man-to-man pressing this year. Are you planning to mix it up defensively, or are we going to see predominantly more man-to-man, zone, full-court, half-court defense?
Well, our bread and butter is man, most definitely. We did run some zone last year, a 1-2-2 slide, which is a type of zone defense where the person that runs the point, as the ball goes deeper, she ends up all the way down defending the post. And it's very effective. You have to have a very specific type of personnel to run that type of defense. And it probably will be reintroduced this year. But in looking at the personnel we have and their mobility, I've introduced a different type of zone defense, which, in case anybody from other towns are listening into 105.1,
unlikely,
not going to name it, but they'll see it. It's an extremely effective aggressive zone that shows different looks, and again, with the length that we have and the lateral speed that we have, I think it's going to be good for us to use from time to time. As far as full court pressure is concerned, full court man is going to be a part of what we do. There'll be some full court zone thrown in, and there'll be some trapping involved as well, especially with some of the quickness that we have. I think some run and jump will become a part of what we do. And again, the key thing is, if you are scoring the ball, you're not having to defend. And our style of play, we're looking to be more up-tempo this year, looking to run it out. We've been working a lot on transition and responsibilities and spots as opposed to roles. Because, if you wait for somebody, someone who's designated the point guard to get to the outlet spot, then that's going to slow things down. So it's a spot. First person there is in the outlet spot, and that's our starting point for getting the ball up the floor. And everybody, the way we've been running it, everybody is running the rim. Everybody's running weak side. Everybody's running strong side. So everybody has an opportunity to know what the spots are that we're looking to get to, as opposed to you're a three, this is where you go, that type of thing.
So, Coach, and for our listeners who are just joining us, we're joined by Kevin Gibbs, the coach of the girls basketball team at Bedford High School. It really sounds like you have a blueprint in place and you're executing upon that now. How would you describe the culture of the program right now?
Well, I'm a firm believer that culture comes from within, not from the top down. It's important. In order for people to... in order for players to be invested, they have to be a part. And to this end, I met with the captains many times, I shouldn't say many, but multiple times over the summer to discuss what was working, what had worked for us, what we needed to improve, what we needed to change. The goal was really to create a framework that's inclusive, positive, and meaningful. So to that end, we introduced the before school skills sessions in the fall. We participated in a very high-level girls' high school fall league down in Massachusetts with some of the top New Hampshire and Massachusetts teams. Bishop Girton was there, Manchester Memorial was there, along with Central Catholic and St. Mary's out of Lynn. Some really strong competition week in and week out We have changed up our pre-practice warm-up routines. We're getting into the weight room now 3 times a week. We're doing weekly film sessions. A lot of changes like that, many of which were suggested and requested by the captains as things that they felt would be more meaningful for us as the season started and as the season goes on. And I'm in agreement. And then what's really important is I'm a proponent of the team being like a family. On everything that I put up, our practice plans and handouts for the girls and whatever, I've adopted the very simple Hawaiian term, ohana. It is a Hawaiian phrase that means family by association, not necessarily by blood, but by association, a coming together. And these girls have already really embraced that. They're coming together in a lot of different ways. The other thing I do is I empower everyone to lead in their own way. We don't have freshmen, sophomores, juniors, and seniors. We have varsity players. And if a sophomore sees something that needs to be fixed or is capable of helping someone learn something on the floor as we're running through things, they're empowered to do so. This is not Kevin Gibbs, you know, telling everybody what to do. My staff is empowered. I have brought on a fantastic varsity assistant coach who I will tell you about in a moment. But I would be remiss if I didn't mention the leadership, the mentoring, and the role modeling that this year's captains have shown has been outstanding. I mean, it's very easy to coach when you have players like Jonas, Rosenbaum, and Morgan to assist you.
It certainly sounds like it would be. And I know you have a meeting that you have to run off to because we can't take your time all day long. But who did you bring on? And now that our interest has piqued about that?
Her name is Jordan Grant. And for people who've been around a while, they might recognize the name. I actually, many years ago, was coaching at another New Hampshire high school. And Jordan played for Concord, and she was fantastic. She was a first-team All-State player. She earned a scholarship to play at Franklin Pierce University, then transferred over to the University of Southern Maine to play for New England Hall of Famer Gary Fifield. And she had a tremendous career. But even more importantly, when she graduated, she went into coaching high school in Maine. She's been a JV coach over there for the last 5 years under some really strong head coaches and for some really strong schools. And her personal life, her professional life, brought her back to New Hampshire. And I've coached AAU for about 25 years now, and I was at a tournament up in Vermont, and I bumped into Jordan in the lobby at St. Michael's. And again, we've known each other for a while, and she coaches for the Southern Maine Shock. And we started chatting, and she said, "Oh, I'm coming back to New Hampshire. Are you aware of any openings that there might be?" And I said, "I happen to know of one. I'd love for you to join the staff." So she and I are like two halves of a whole. We approach the game the same way. We teach the game the same way. A lot of the things that we like to do are similar. As a matter of fact, our AAU teams, we had a chance. We expected to play each other in the semifinals at a national tournament down in Washington, D.C. this past summer. We were so hyped about playing each other, we both got to win the game leading into that. So we both got eliminated prior to playing each other. But the girls really like her. I really like her. And she's a really great addition to the coaching community here in Bedford.
Well, it sounds like you're on track for a great year. A lot of good leadership with the team. And we wish you all the best. Can't wait to get out there on the court with you and broadcast some of the games.
Thank you. And just one last thing. Come on in. You can't beat the price of admission. This is a group of young ladies that fully deserve the support of the Bedford community. It's a great brand of basketball to watch, and they would appreciate having some full stands to cheer them on.
Allie Morgan was repping everybody else's sports in the fall. Now she needs to rep her own. It's the winter season. She needs to get some crowds out there.
I got to tell you, you got that. I mean, if it's a, and to use a term that's being overused these days, if it's a quid pro quo, and there's an awful lot of people that need to get into the Bedford High School gym this winter, because Allie was everywhere supporting field hockey, supporting soccer, supporting football, supporting volleyball. She was everywhere. She is she is a true student athlete that is a great representative of Bedford High.
And a great sports family as well, starting with Thomas all the way down to Eric Jr. So, it's a lot of fun.
I'll let you in on a little thing you might not know yet. Eric did that rare thing as a freshman. He made JV.
Did he really?
With over 60 young men trying out for the boys program. That's a very rare thing. And Eric made JV. He's going to be the next Morgan coming through that's going to do great things in Bedford.
Now, he's a lot of fun. And mom and dad, obviously, are great athletes, too. So the apple does not fall far. But, we appreciate the time. Good luck with the rest of your day, and we'll see you soon.
Very good. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That was Coach Kevin Gibbs of the Bedford High girls basketball team. Hey, it's Lauren Fox, the host of Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. Andrew Hansen and I have the week off, so take a moment and enjoy some highlights from some of our past shows. Welcome back to Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. Lauren Fox, Andrew Hansen. We are joined by Phil Axton, the Bedford High ski coach. It's, I guess, the right time of year to have the ski coach on the program. Welcome.
Welcome. How are you, sir?
I'm tremendous. I'm excited that I was able to get out earlier this week. Hansen and I just finished talking about it, but you got a couple days under your belt, too.
Yes. We went out to Stowe, and now chemo's been great. Yeah, really good conditions already. This is awesome. This is a great year so far.
I have to say, I mean, this is about as early as I can remember skiing since I've lived here. How does an early snow like this help the Bedford High ski team out in terms of getting people out there on the slopes?
It helps out tremendously. 90% of our racers are club racers, so they race already at the different mountains, and they've already started practicing at least 2 weeks ago. My son, he went out the weekend before. He's still on the team. He's a senior this year, but he skied the weekend before Thanksgiving. He skied every weekend since. So getting all those kids out prior to us even starting is huge. There's been some winters where we showed up to a race, and it's the first time any of us have put on skis, you know, in the past, and we're showing up to a race and we're going to go through gates.
So, right.
But the other teams also have this too, though. So, you know, I mean, everyone wins.
Well, it's kind of one of those, a rising tide carries all ships. And I know last year we talked about some of the preparation. Last year was a weird year as far as snow went. It seemed like every time we'd get a good snow, it would rain. Which is the absolute worst. And I guess if you look at the weather forecast, and I did this time, it looks like we're maybe getting the same thing early next week. But for you, how do you have you been through evals for the team yet, or how do you conduct those?
All right, so 90% of our races at Bedford High School are USSA racers, which means they race for a club. They race for, we've got them all over, from Bretton Woods, Cannon, Loon, Paps Peak, Crotch, at Gunstock. So we're able to, Coach Jesser and myself, we're able to look at their points as far as GS and slaloms go, and then we can kind of get an idea of where everybody is at, who our top runners are, who our new runners are. And then we do have some non-club races, which are fine. They're in there in the mix, more in the JV, only because they just don't have the amount of time through the gates as the club racers do. So going forward, we do the dry land because some of these athletes, not many, but some don't have any other sports, so we need to get them in shape. And this year, I made a vow, we're stepping up our game. I added another day in the practice, so this year we have 4 days of practice. Right through the whole season, from film and everything, I got to step it up. And we really see, I want to see the dedication there, because it's an honor to be on this team. I mean, they really do pretty well. And we have so many kids that, you know, it stinks, but I do have to make some cuts. So the ones that work the hardest and have a positive attitude, we're keeping. And then the ones that are not as positive, you know, I mean, we'll just maybe hopefully they'll come out next year, you know.
Coach, you mentioned dry land. For the folks who aren't as familiar with that term, what does it mean for skiing?
Well, for a good program, any of the U.S., well, like the U.S. ski team, any of the top ski teams, the colleges, or anything, you definitely need conditioning before you can even get on snow. It's all about, I mean, it's your whole core body movement. but a lot of legs are involved, obviously, with the ski turns. If you ever watched any of those Olympic skiers?
Yes, of course. Absolutely.
If you... hold on. Okay, sorry about that. I'm sorry. I just got a phone call. The legs are huge. So we'll do a lot of leg stuff, anywhere from the lunges, the squats. We're in the gym. We alternate days. We'll do a lot of high rep cardio, get the wind going. We'll get a lot of core exercises for your balance. Balance is another big ticket item in the ski industry. And we base off our workouts off of a lot of what the pros do. My coach Jessa, we talked all summer long about getting a program ready for the fall. We started about 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago now. NHAA rules, we can't officially start till December 2nd, so it's all voluntary, like a captain's practice. Kids don't have to come, but I'll tell you what, the Bedford kids, they come on their own, they do their own thing, and then we really hold them to the fire when December 2nd rolls around, which was this week.
Well, that certainly makes sense to me with the workouts that you're describing, because I know what it feels like to finish a run. You know, the quads are really burning. So you got to prepare for that before the season. But in terms of the actual races that your team does, you mentioned the club racers in GS and slalom. What are the race formats that the Bedford High School ski racers compete in?
So most of them, now we have the ski club, so most of them do the slalom and the GS. We have a handful of kids that actually go a little bit beyond, and then they do the Super G. And that prepares them for the courses for high school a little bit easier. They're far. Some of the schools don't have as many club racers, so they're not used to it. There's been some teams where they've never seen a gate, and so they make it kind of easy. So for the club racers, it's a little bit different. It's a little faster. It's a shorter course. I'm not saying it's not easier by any means, because it's a different strategy than a tighter course. You know, so it's well-rounded for everybody to hop in and have a good time and just run with it. And then the club races, they really love it because they can get some speeds. But we don't do any downhill or anything like that.
Joined by Bedford High ski coach Phil Axton. And coach, the team has had a great deal of success over the years. Who is coming back for you, or who do you expect coming back to be on the team this season?
All right, so, yeah, the girls, this is 2 years in a row. They've been undefeated season and state champs. And I've got four of the girls coming back that competed in the states last year. The top two right now, Sydney Berube and Jesse Rio, they go back and forth. They are, like, on fire. And then we've got Mackenzie Kyle, the returner, Riley Wolfinger. She's a state returner, and we got Lauren Burns. She's actually all those girls have been made it to state the last 3 years, I believe. Three years. And now, to put things into perspective, we have 30 kids on the team. It's about 15 and 15 to be on a state at the state level. I only take five girls and five boys, so they like rise to the top. Those are like the extreme fast skiers. Maddie Goldstein, she is a new freshman last year. She made it to the states last year. Avery Manny, that was another girl. She is a ski meister. She does both Nordic and Alpine, and she won the whole state last year as a ski meister. She won the Nordic and the Alpine last year. As far as boys, we've got two promising guys that were... have been at the state team since they were freshmen, Michael Axton and CJ Ledoux. They both got hurt some extensive knee injuries last year, so they were both out. But returning again, Cole Berube, Sydney's brother, they're both their stud ski racers. We got Nick Purnell, we got Aiden Wolfinger. And the Wolfinger, they got Cole, he's coming up. It's going to be interesting to see how he is, because he's a freshman this year. I haven't seen him personally out there. We'll see how he does. But we have a really good, solid team this year. Good, solid team.
Now, you have some young skiers who have come up through the ranks, and a lot of those kids, the stat you threw out was 90%, have competed on some kind of a club team. What advice would you give young skiers who... may have done a good amount of skiing, but may not have ever ventured into that club racing scene?
Well, you know, it's funny because I had some guys last year, and I have some kids this year, and I've noticed, like, because a lot of the kids now, they're either park skiers, racers, or they're, like, out of bounds. And I've had a couple of the park and out of bounds make it to the state team last year. They're phenomenal skiers. I mean, the gates that are set up for high school, it's not as technical as a regular USSA, so they can compete. My recommendation, if you're young, 6th, 7th, 8th grade, I'll tell you, I love the ski clubs. They teach them. My whole goal was to get my son just to learn how to, I grew up racing, and I wanted him just to race because it makes you a great skier. Later in life, as a family, you do it together.
Right.
And, you know, some of the ones that, you know, just join in, absolutely, get out there and do it. And it's just something that you can do with the family. But I'm just, personally, I'm a big advocate of the club racers. You know, I'm not saying you're going to make it into the U.S. ski team and the Olympics and anything else, but when they get to the high school, when they're racing USSA, you're against, you know, college kids and everything else, you kind of get mixed. You really, it's very humbling. And it's great life lessons they're learning. But when then they really shine in the high school level, you know what I mean? They really do, the club racers, it seems like.
It for those who don't know, where are some of the clubs locally that kids can get out and ski with?
My son loves Pat's Peak. We've had a great time there. This year I've got kids from, again, Gunstock, Pat's Peak, Crotchet, Bretton Woods, Loon, Cannon. And you know, the very nice thing about that is all those clubs are great. And our Sunapee, and I like that they all bring something back. And I usually try to share the different coaching styles. There's no secret, secret serum that will make the kid go fast. It's all up to the kid, but there's different techniques that they can learn. And it's all about learning. And I love taking stuff from each mountain. I'm so lucky to have a lot of resources from these kids, what they're teaching them. And I bring it all back. We clump it all together and see how it goes. And it does pretty good, I think.
And that's a big help in making you a better coach, too. The more that, I don't know, the coaches that think they know everything and are hesitant to learn anything from anybody else, I think are the ones that tend to be short-lived. The ones that tend to have long careers as coaches are the ones who pick up other things from other places. Experience is the best teacher, right?
Absolutely. Hands down. I mean, I've been in the industry, 40 years, and I'm learning every day. It's awesome. All the newest, the latest, greatest techniques. And, I mean, you're always learning. The skis are changing. The conditions are changing, the way the snowmaking is. They can make the courses better. They realize, you know, salting the course, watering the course, making it ice, there's sharpening. There's so many things involved. They're talking about now with the waxes, the fluoro is really bad, you know, for there's a lot of carcinogens, and they're stopped making that, and they're on to some new stuff. And yeah, no. This industry is you're always learning something new. And yes, you're absolutely right. If you get someone that's just hard nosed and they're always, they're gonna get flushed out, I think.
It's tough, but glad to have you there, and glad to have you have the opportunity to help these kids out on the slopes. We're with Phil Axton, the Bedford High ski coach, and obviously you mentioned your son Michael, who's on the ski team, also played on the football team this year. The best way to say it was some weird shuffling of the deck at the end made it so that the Bulldogs didn't get in the playoffs. But what was his feeling about the football season? Had a great year out there on the field.
Yes, he did. He had a great year. I mean, he was laid up for 9 months with the ACL and the outer ligament tear, and he came back, and we were all wondering, everybody was, you know, I guess because it's a lot of mental issues as far as, can you run again? Or, you know, you're either going to accept it or you're not. And he went on his own, and he trained really hard. And he had a great year for himself. He did get hit once. And it's funny how, well, not funny, but the brain shuts down. And they're like, he thought he tore it again. And, you know, the trainer comes up to me, and he's like, he's fine. It's just the body is overcompensating. He doesn't want to get that knee hurt again. And sure enough, it took him out for one game. He was back in the following game, and, you know, we were back on track. And He was very happy with his year, and it came abruptly to an end. It was weird for all of us. We were all like, just the way everything ended up with Gotham beating Salem. We lost to Salem. I mean, and that's the beauty of the football is, like, there is no set one team. You know what I mean? And I like that because you don't know who it is that year. And unfortunately, we didn't make it. That's fine. I'm glad Londonderry. They haven't been in the mix in a while. And the one thing with Londonderry, when my son was a freshman and he's a senior this year and they're a senior, they're the one team that beat us. They crushed us when he was a freshman and we beat everybody else. So I knew they got out of the hole. I was like, oh boy, Londonderry's going to really do well this year. But my son, to answer your question, that we had a tough weekend at home as parents. I mean, I kind of, on the mindset, I just leave him alone and let him do his thing because he's old enough now. I don't want to push him. I know he pushed himself very hard. So I stand back. And, he was very bitter. You know, they lost and everything else. And we've moved on, and he's moved on. And, you know, we're moving on to college. We're looking at all the colleges now.
Well, it's a great time, and we wish him all the best. We wish you all the best, too, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon a little bit later on the ski season.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you.
Well, we thank you for your time, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you. You too.
Take care.
See ya.
Take care. Bye. That was, as I let him go, Bedford High ski coach Phil Axton. Hey, it's Lauren Fox, the host of Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. You've been listening to some of our past highlights. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we hope you have a wonderful sports week.